Blog Talk Radio.
Of this show is part two of our collection, Duff Night. This is a new collection of the greatest hits that I've released on iTunes. And you saw videos on YouTube as well as Vivo. It's on MTV.com. You can type in Duff Night, you'll look at the videos. Well, I'm just wanted to tell you more, about the greatest hits. You just heard it forever and through time, but the difference now is that this CD is remastered, and forever through time, just a remastering on it. So I hope you like it. If you like the song message, Before we get started, I wanted to say I wanted to thank David Waterbury. He's a great songwriter, extremely gifted musician and producer. He helped me with three of those songs that were put on this CD. I worked with him for a number of years. I'm sure the music industry know about David Waterbury. He's a great producer. So if you want to work with somebody on a song, consider him, because it can help collaborate and bring your ideas, or help your ideas become a reality. But as a songwriter, you know, these songs I've written, I would say the most profound one, because three of them, you know, Forever Through Time, Unique, and Outkast. The most profound one was Outkast, because when I did Outkast, I was going through some problems. You know, I was homeless, and I was in L.A., and, you know, I was writing all these lyrics, and I was Mario was arranger and lyricist, and I created a melody for the song. So when I went and saw David Waterbury, it was the first song we collaborated on, and it was very interesting, because doing this song was, and putting it into recording process, was a humbling experience because of how, you know, the time that we put into it, because it took such a long time to put and arrange for all the instruments to be coordinated into the song. And it was just a story about my early part of my life where upstate New York, New York City, et cetera, et cetera. California to, you know, Los Angeles. Homelessness, you know, went through very cruel experiences, seen as an oddball, not wanting to, but found myself being the scapegoat of many people's jokes and ostracized for no apparent reason, the cruelty that I experienced as a young person, as well as an adolescent, and as well as a young adult. I put it in that song. When I listen to it, I realized how poignant the song was, because, you know, I have my own style about me. And to protect myself, to deal with people, the ostracism, I mean, you know, I had to go and hang out with this person, I had to do this thing, I had to, you know. Yes, it was all about being unique. The uniqueness in how I expressed my soul and my personality was a turnoff for a lot of people. And one of the reasons that it became a turnoff was because of the misinterpretation that what I say out my mouth and what I do. People misquoted me, and they make up their own minds. I ask a person, a simple question. You know, I was in New York City, you know, Manhattan. You know, I was looking for a place to stay, and I was asking. I said, "Do you know where a homeless shelter is?" You know, and this guy said, "You've got a mental illness, don't you?" And I said, "No, I was just asking you a question about." I had my suitcase with me. I'm like, asking a question about homelessness. So I'm just saying the guy has experienced mentally ill people who are homeless. Just because I asked him a question doesn't mean I'm mentally ill about homeless. I mean, look for a homeless shelter. You know, that's the kind of situation. Or if I say, yeah, I like that, and they say, I say A, and they think it's B. So, but that's perception. I just give off a bad perception. So, when I put into that, the Outkast song became a cliche of that, and I just made this melody for it. And David helped me realize what I need, you know, the song, and it was a very tough process for me because I never experienced a recording process, but I was involved in it. So that was, it's kind of sad if you really listen to it, melancholy. But if you really listen to it, it really gives you an idea that a lot of people are going through the same thing. So I hope you like Outkast. You see the video, it's on Vivo, it's on MTV, and hope you like it. There was another song called Unique. Well, Unique I made later, you know. David and I just had a good, you know, we worked very good together. It was just so many experiences when I was younger, you know. After I made Outkast, after I made some other songs, you know, I found myself going from just being an artist, because I was just country, I'd be just making songs and music, and I thought, hey, here, you can just hear, here's a CD, and that's that. But then I found myself, if I wanted to make it in the music business, I instantly become a business person. So instantly I become a businessman. I mean, just like that. And I'm like, a businessman. I had to promote the song. I had to get a manager. I had to do all that. That was the metaphor instantly when I was young. After I made Outkast, I made these songs, I had to go to a radio station to see if they want to play it. I had to get a manager to see if he likes it. I had to go do the best I can, and I got rejected by a lot of indie record labels and major labels in Hollywood. I did. I was very, for someone who has a bad past and so many bad incidents, a bad life, period, that was very, very traumatizing, getting rejected by every single label, getting a letter. You're rejected. We pass up at this time. Try somebody else. It was a very sad experience. And then I thought, well, maybe I'm just not that good of a singer. Maybe the songs I should write about love, you know. One of the songs that I written about was actually, you know, I written about a song called Struggle. And it was really a positive song. You know, it's like overcoming struggles and feeling good about yourself. Your life will get much better. And then I wrote a love song afterwards, and I still got rejected. So I was frustrated, but then I realized a lot of musicians go through the same thing. I was rejected, and but then one experience where I was so determined at such a young age that I had these songs. So I had a CD or tape, and I went right down to, I was in West Hollywood, and I met the A&R guy. And if you haven't heard the story before, I mentioned it before, and he looked staring me down and wondering why is I'm trying to make it in the music business. I mean, the image thing came out. I wasn't dressed as a clown. I wasn't dressed in glitter. I didn't have makeup or anything like I did some of my shows. When I go and perform all the times in the West L.A. or San Fernando Valley or parts of L.A., I don't always dress up, but when I do, you know, I dress up, you know. I didn't think I was, you know, I wasn't on stage, and or my size or the way I looked. I guess the way I actually looked, how size of my belly, or where I was really, you know, I'm really skinny, you know, at the time, you know, and his response was, what are you doing here? Get out of here, you know, for somebody else. And I said, well, you know, and what he said was about my image, about what I look like. So I wrote the rock song, The Unique, mostly because of that experience. The other reason why I wrote Unique was because I was in a jam band and somebody said, you're too big, you're too fat, you're too ugly. So get that guy over there, the guitar player, and make him the lead singer. So I thought, okay, so I know the Hollywood thing has a uniqueness. I mean, unique people can make it just as good as a beautiful person. You know, I know they like beautiful people to sing, but I also know that very unique, gifted people can make it too. So I wrote that song, Unique, in a response. That wasn't the only experience that I experienced about the image thing, the category. And David told me, you know what? That's not what they really, they want the song. The song had to sell. The song first had to sell, and then they think about all that other stuff. Yeah, that's important, but that's not the last thing they think about. You got a good song, and if you're talented, you will make it anyway. But, you know, I was in that mode, and I struggled, and, you know, that's what I realized. Oh, in West Hollywood, Hollywood was like, okay. So that the song Unique is a rock song about that experience. And the lyrics that I've written, you know, I had a hard life, but I overcame it. I am not destined to have my heart broken. That was because I was a starving artist. I struggled. I had such a bad life, you know. A lot of people, Hollywood hopefuls do. They had a very bad life. Some of them come from broken homes, ostracized by every community. I was ostracized by the white community, the black community, the straight community, the gay community, every community that you can think of. I was an outsider. So I had these bad experiences and these neuroses developed from being picked on, fighting, all that stuff. So I was an ostracized. And then trying to make it in the music industry, to put it on top how difficult it is. I know a lot of Hollywood hopefuls' dreams were dashed. The Boulevard of Broken Dreams. And I wrote that as, I'm not going to see my dreams are broken. I had a hard life, which I did, which I have, but I overcame it. I had to think positive. Despite all these rejections, somebody will sign me and my life will get better anyway. I'm a great person. I am not destined to have my heart broken. And lots of Hollywood hopefuls' hearts were broken, at least literally with the career, because they didn't make it in Hollywood. And as a lot of tragedies were developed over there on Hollywood Boulevard or in the Hollywood area. So that's what that lyric is about. So I hope you like that, the rock song. Now, Forever On Through Time, you saw so many videos, Forever On Through Time. The concept of that was just, it was spontaneity. I wrote that from the bottom of my heart because I actually got the inspiration from, I watched it, listening to a pop song. I overheard it, or some song in the 80s, and I'm like, you know, it was a love song, and I'm like, oh, I like that song. But I had to make it into a rock version with my own lyrics and inspiration. So I heard it, and I'm like, hey, that's a good idea. So I write the lyrics, and then I put the melody and all that, go to the studio, and But the point of the matter is that it's also about, you know, it was just from the bottom of my heart, you know, if you meet somebody, you know, if you've been alone all your life, you know, because I've, it's kind of autobiographical because I've been alone a long time, you know, I haven't met anybody, you know, and, you know, again, I was an outcast, I was unique. And then I meet people or somebody who accept me for who I was. So it was a certain kind of love. So in that sense, I met somebody who accept me for who I was, where for a long time I didn't meet the right person. So it's called Forever On Through Time. So a lot of people can relate to that. You know, you find somebody you fall in love with, or someone who accept, you know, loves you for who you are. And it could be any kind of love. It could be friendship love. It could be, I mean, you know, soulmates, they'll always be romance partners. They could be best friends. Or they could be, you know, someone, some person you work with, et cetera, et cetera. So that's what Forever On Through Time is about. I hope you like the part two collection. It's, you know, it's lots of other songs. You know, there were other songs released on iTunes. I don't think that they are as remastered as this one. I'm probably going to remaster some of them, but I hope you liked it. And it's there for you to buy if you want to listen to is really good songs. And but the most important thing is that no matter what happens, if you love to create, and if you love to sing, and if you love to play an instrument, I do play a little instrument, or some kind of creation, keep doing it no matter what, you know, no matter what happens, no matter if you're out in the North Pole and that's all you see, and snow around you, and you're in a home, and you want to create, write poetry, play guitar, sing, act, paint, etc. It's important that you do. It's important that I do, because it's a part of my soul. I'm a creative person. Always was, always will be, and that's the most important thing. I realize that the applause that I would like to have must really come from inside, and for that to be acknowledged is for me to acknowledge myself through creation. So creators out there, keep doing it no matter what happens. And that is the good thing about iTunes and all these computer software format, is that now there's lots of very gifted people who can create, and you don't need a really big record label anymore, you know? Because a lot of dreams have came true in their own way. And that's the most important thing. With this, you know, I have a lot of opposition. You know, I had a lot of obstacles and challenges being a creative person, because creative people think differently than the average Joe. I was always a creative person. I was drawing and painting, and then I was acting a little when I was a little kid. You know, I wasn't the best actor or singer or dancer or whatever, or musician, but I've evolved into my own person. I was in high school. I was in a technical school, and one of the reasons why I didn't do too well in Hutchinson Technical High School was I was having problems at home. Like, you know, I couldn't concentrate. You know, teen angst. Yeah, and that's one reason. If you got that line, maybe I'm sure would have done better. I was depressed, but the other reason was, I didn't have an outlet. I was a creative person. I didn't have an outlet for that creativity. So there was a decision where I was at Hutchinson Tech. They was going to transfer me to this McKinley High School. It didn't happen to be a advertising art. So I decided to stay at Hutch Tech. But I was painting and drawing. I was always a creative person. I was going to circles. I wasn't feeling that well as a teenager. You know, I wasn't doing that well because I was having too many other problems. But despite that, I was always drawing and painting and art and stuff, you know. I didn't realize that it was that creative medium that I was putting myself in would become a part of me as an adult. No, but during that, my adolescence, which is very difficult, extremely, you don't want to know, the creative forces were put on hold, and I lost interest in painting and drawing. I didn't know why, and then I got more interested in singing and writing and playing instruments. I didn't know why, you know. It's like, then I realized, yeah, I did, because my life was so horrific. It was, I was going through a hard time as, you know, of course, you know, so exercise, I was having all kinds of problems. So the thing that made me feel better when I was a teenager was that I picked up a microphone and I sang a rock song, and then I felt better. So I thought, oh, this feels better when I sing. Okay, I'm singing like Eddie Vedder. It feels better. Yeah. Well, anyway, so Jimi Hendrix, and then, you know, I GNR and Poison and Motley Crue, and, you know, Jimi Hendrix experience, you know, all that came when I was a teenager. I was exposed to it in Aqua. I didn't, you know, growing up in my home, my mother would never played Poison and Motley Crue on the radio. No, they wouldn't. I left home early and I got exposed to this music. And I didn't know that. At first I was like, what is this? I mean, the first song I heard was Poison, I Won't Forget You, Babe, or Slippy When Wet, Bon Jovi. I heard that hours they were playing it. You know, in this place I was living, they were playing that for hours. It went into my one ear and out the other. But then it went into my ear and didn't go out. And then I was supposed to Led Zeppelin. Then I was supposed to Jimi Hendrix. Like, who is these people? So I just, you know, just slowly just, you know, I guess it should, you know, I mean, you know, it just stayed in, you know. And it was like singing, oh, that feels good. Yeah, I'm depressed and I feel good when I sing it. And then I tried to get in bands, and then I wanted to play an instrument, and then I wanted to write a song, and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. That's how it started. Believe me, I'm the odd one, you know. I thought I was going to go straight right into law school and be a doctor. Yeah. Then I went to, I became a rock and roller, rebellious, and I became, I just changed. Because my life was horrific, you know. I wasn't accepted. Bad life, you know. So, and then I became very angry. And that rock and roll was the outlet. But I didn't, you know, and then I found myself in Hollywood. That's how it happens, you know. I hope that my dreams, because it's out there for the music, so that in a way it came true. I hope it, I do believe that dreams do come true. I hope yours do come true, too. I mean, I am open-minded. I just say, you wouldn't believe all the things I say. You know, I don't want people to hear me, but I am, what you call it, politically correct. I'm open-minded, you know, to everybody, everything. I just, bad experiences, you know. Think of me as Kurt Cobain, Axl Rose, Jimi Hendrix, Elton John, and mixed together. Well, musically and how I think philosophically, you know. I mean, I'm open. Okay, I'm open-minded, you know. But regardless of what happens, it doesn't matter what happens to my music now or the future. Important thing is that I create because it's part of my soul, and so should you. In that sense, your dreams will come true because you became a creator. So don't let nobody tell you that you can't, because there's always a lot of dream killers, a lot of dream killers in Hollywood, a lot of dream killers everywhere around the world. Don't let nobody take your dream away, no matter what age, where you are, and where you're going. No matter what, even if it ain't in a creative world, because I'm a creator. That's what I was born to do. And my dream's supposed to come true, and so should yours. Good night from Duff Knight. I hope you like my rock collection. It's on iTunes, Google Play, etc. Good night.